Church. So I know that we said that the kids weren't going to share, but I decided that I would love to have Kelly just tell us how she felt about her time there at NYR and maybe a little something that she got out of it just to encourage us here. So.
Hello? Is it working? Okay, now it's working. Okay, so I don't know, I just want to tell this little story first about the bears. Our campsite is right along the property line, and I was sharing a tent with my best friend, Ashton, and we were crawling into bed. You know, it's midnight, it's lights out, and so Ashton says to me, you know, good night, don't let the bed bugs bite, and then I turn to her and say, or the bears. She's like, oh no, I forgot about that. Now I'm freaking out. And then we hear a voice outside our tent. Don't worry, I'm right here. What was that? I don't know. It's the deputy. Like, oh my goodness, thank you so much for being out there protecting us. So we were very thankful for the deputies. So I think it was maybe like the first day, I think it was Sunday morning, the speaker was talking about that we should be disciples and not just Christians. And I thought that was really cool because I think about it a lot. You know, a lot of kids nowadays, you know, they just say they're Christians, but they don't really do anything to be a disciple. And it says in the book of James about your faith without deeds is dead. So just hearing him actually say that, you know, I think about it a lot, but actually somebody saying it was very nice. I had other things I wanted to say. Yeah. Okay. It was awesome.
Good. There we go.
So that's just one of the things that I got out of it. Thank you.
All right. That's right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're so blessed to have NYR and have that be a place that our young people can go, that they can learn of the Lord and spend a week in His Word. And we're really, really happy to have Mike and Chris back to join us and helping us out with worship. It's always a blessing to have them, and we're blessed to have so many talented people here at our church. I'm just astonished at how God has blessed this little church with so much talent. So we've been talking about love. We talked about the greatest commands being love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And last week, we looked at a practical application of loving your neighbor as yourself through looking at Jesus' friendship with Mary Magdalene, how he took care of her needs, how he made sure that he made time for relationship with her, and how he also took the time to make sure that he was emotionally available to her, that when she was hurting, he was hurting, even if he knew that good things were coming. And so now I'd like to look at the first and greatest command, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Now, as we have mentioned before, Jesus fulfilled this on the cross. He showed his total and complete love for the Father and his willingness to die for our sins. But last I checked, there's no cross for me, at least not a physical cross. I can't go and crucify myself to show my love for God. So how did Jesus show love in a physical way in living out his daily life? Well, the first way that Jesus modeled love for us was the fact that he simply listened. He simply listened. In Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, said, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem from the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it, thinking he was with their company. They traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now, the one thing you have to understand about being a 12-year-old boy was that in a year, you were going to be a 13-year-old man. Now, not in the sense that you're going to be getting married and a lot, you know, taking on your own work and all of those things. But in the Jewish tradition, when a young boy turned 13, he had his bar mitzvah. And what that meant for him is that he became accountable for fulfilling the covenant, for living out the old law, the commands. And so Jesus is about to step into a role where he'll be reading scripture in synagogue. He'll be practicing his faith. And for Jesus, it wasn't enough to simply sit in synagogue and be trained by the rabbi. It wasn't enough to just simply get what his teachers had taught him. When he had the chance to go to the temple, he went. And he didn't waste his time there. He went and found the teachers. He found the Levites. He found the rabbis. He found the scribes. And he started studying the Word of God at 12 years old. He realized that if he was going to have a relationship with God, if he was going to have a closeness with God, he had to know what God wanted him to know. Well, you may be asking yourself, well, he was God, right? He was God and man. But the thing we have to understand is that he had a 12-year-old brain. He could only comprehend what a 12-year-old could comprehend. He was limited just as we are limited. And so Jesus took the time and took the effort to be there in the temple, listening, learning, asking questions. He wanted to make sure that he knew what God's will for his life was. And God told us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, what it meant to love him. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, or with all your soul, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie these symbols to your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames, your houses, and on your gates." You see, God wants us to know his heart. How do we know his heart? The only way for us to know God's heart is to know his word. And I have some bad news for you. Listening to me is not going to teach you God's word. Listening to art is not going to teach you God's word. If all you do is sit and listen to sermons from us or sermons on Christian radio stations, you are not going to get the full heart of God because he gave it to you in his word. I will share with you his truth. I will do everything in my power to present to you the righteousness of God and what it means to follow him. But I can't do it for you. Jesus understood that his rabbi couldn't do it for him. He understood that his parents couldn't do it for him. If he wanted the word of God, he had to be in it. He had to be reading it. He had to be studying it. That was what initially helped Jesus to love the Father, is to listen to his will. Now let me ask you something. I'm going to ask the guys first, and we may have to go to the ladies, okay? But when you come home and your wife tells you, "Ah, I've had a rough day, the baby's been crying all morning, and the laundry machine busted, and everything is absolutely filthy, and I have no time, I caught a cold, I've got a headache, I really just wanted to take a nap, but I couldn't because there was all these other things going on." Gentlemen, what did your wife want you to do? Pray for her, okay. Well, women, what did you want your man to do for you? Help? Listen, right? Okay, I know that's one thing I was taught in counseling. That did not go the way I expected it to. But to listen, to hear, right? Because you want them to know what you're going through. You want them to have an experience with you. And that's what Jesus did. He listened from a young age to try and understand what God's will for him was. But he didn't stop there. And I think it's cool, Kelly. You know, it's wonderful how the Spirit works, because you talked about discipleship. You talked about the fact that it's not just listening, it's our actions. Well, the fact of the matter is, Jesus followed through with actions. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, we read this. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be not be so now. It is proper for us to do this. And I want you to focus on these words. I want you to think about them. To fulfill all righteousness. It's very important. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Now I got to tell you, when I was younger, I was pretty confused about Jesus' baptism. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, because baptism was for remission of sins. Well, Jesus didn't have any sins. So why was it right for him to do this, to fulfill all righteousness? And then one day, as I was reading Romans chapter 6, and Paul was talking about what baptism is, he said it is our death, burial, and resurrection, where we die to ourselves, where we're buried with him, and where we rise again to a new kind of life. And all of a sudden it clicked. Why was it righteousness for Jesus to be baptized that day? It was righteousness because Jesus knew what God's ministry for him was. And he said that day, I'm going into these waters. I'm going to die to my will. I'm going to be buried to my will, and I will rise again ready for the ministry of the Lord. I will rise again fully and completely willing to follow my God wherever he leads me. You see, I believe Jesus had all the same hopes and dreams that we do, of wanting to have a wife, to have children, to grow up and work hard with his hands, to watch his grandchildren grow and to bounce them on his knee. I don't think his wants and wishes were any different than what we would have. But Jesus said that day, I've got to do this. I've got to be obedient to the righteousness that God has placed within my life. And when he did that, God said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Our lives have to be about more than just simply coming to church. Our lives have to be about more than simply coming to a Bible study. We have got to love God enough that we think about what he wants for us, that we consider his will and his hopes and his plans for us, and that we're willing to set aside everything to fulfill that and to have that in our lives. Jesus also kept an open connection with the Father. So we have the first step of love, which is listening, the second step of love, which is obedience, and the third step of connection. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now we'll get back to the tempting side of it, but to start with, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness with God. Now, One thing that we have to understand is 40 is a very important number in the Bible. 40 is a holy number. It is whole. It is complete. It's used multiple times. As you remember, the children of Israel spent 40 years wandering the desert. But 40 days in particular holds some very, very important time frames. First off, when we see the flood, how long was it? 40 days and 40 nights, cleansing the earth of the wickedness of men. When we look at Moses going up to receive the law, it was 40 days and 40 nights that he received the law. And so Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And I believe that Matthew's trying to tell us that this is where God is revealing the covenant that he will have, where he begins the path to cleansing his people of wickedness, and where he is stepping out into his ministry. Now, I can't even imagine what it would be like to spend 40 days in the presence of the Lord. I mean, I'm telling you, I went up, when did I get there? I got there Monday afternoon, probably around 11 o'clock, came home probably about the same time on Tuesday, and I was on fire. I'm telling you, you listen to Jeff Walling speak and talking about the Lord and talking about the motivations that we have to love the Lord our God. And man, I was on fire. I can't even imagine how good it feels coming back after a week of being with the Lord, setting everything else aside and just walking with him. And for 40 days, Jesus gave up everything, gave up food, gave up comfort, gave up everything to be in connection with the Lord, to have that closeness with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need that time. We get busy, don't we? I can't even tell you. I listen and hear of the things that people are going through, and I want to go, how can I help? And then something clicks in my head and goes, wow, you got a lot on your plate. We're busy people, and busy people have a tendency to focus on the wrong things. We saw that with Martha, right? She was busy. She started focusing on, I gotta get the house clean, gotta get the meal made, gotta get this done, gotta get that done. We have to have time to connect with our God, to have time to be with him and to be in relationship with him. And not the 20 minutes we can squeeze him in before we head to work. Now, can you imagine this? Walking up to that significant other. Let's even picture it in the puppy dog phase, right? You know, you're still, you know, ooey gooey and everything is perfect and the way they hiccup is the best thing in the world. And, you know, when they snort, when they laugh, you just love it. And when they interrupt you, it's the cutest thing in the whole world. And you go through this whole puppy dog phase. Now picture saying to that person, you know, I really love you. I really do. I only have a half hour for you, though, today. Well, when can we spend time tomorrow? Oh, gosh. Oh, that's booked full. I might be able to squeeze you in for like 5 minutes before I go to bed. How does that sound? Can that work? Well, what about the day after? I mean, I just want to be with you. I want to be close to you. I want to spend time with you. Oh, well, you know, gosh, I'm busy that day. I got to get to the gym, got to keep this body looking good, you know, and I've got to go to work, and I've got all these. Oh, can you imagine how long would that relationship last? How long would that ooey gooey still be there if there's no time, no connection, no relationship? And yet, so many times, that's what we do to God. That's where we put him. You can have half an hour this morning. Brothers and sisters, we've got to find time to connect with our Lord and our Savior. Finally, the way that Jesus showed his love for God was that he followed through with God's plans for his life. We'll look at Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read the first two verses again, and we'll read all the way through 11. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. I don't know about you, that's powerful to me. I can just picture the angels applauding. "Good job, you did it! Way to stand firm!" That was the love that Jesus showed. You know, the thing that's interesting about this to me, though, is that it started right away. Satan didn't wait for Jesus to get any momentum. He didn't wait for him to catch up to that good feeling that he had from being with God and having that time alone with God. He struck right away, just that quickly. And he went after every aspect of Jesus' love for God, starting with his strength. You see, Jesus was tested with the bread. "You look pretty hungry, Jesus." Said he was hungry. Probably a better translation would be famished. Can you imagine? They tell you in survival training that there's rules of three. You can survive 3 minutes without breath, 3 hours without heat, without shelter, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. 3 weeks. Well, that's 21 days. That's half the time that Jesus spent with the Lord. So you can imagine, he's pretty hungry. And Satan is asking Jesus to trust in his own strength. "You got this. You can turn those stones into bread. You can handle this. You can be strong enough. You can trust in your own strength." And what does Jesus do? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, if you look back in Deuteronomy, you'll see that where he references this from, Jesus, it actually, in the whole context, is talking about the manna that God provided for the children of Israel. So what we're seeing is actually Jesus telling Satan, "You know what? If God needs me to have bread, he'll provide it. He'll rain it down for me." Where do we stand when it comes time to love the Lord our God with all our strength? What do we have that we're not willing to give him? What does God not provide for us? Does he provide your food? Can you trust him with your food? Can you trust him with your clothes? Can you trust him with your time? Can you trust him with your home? Can you trust him with anything and everything that you have? That's what Jesus said. That is what's going on. I'm sorry. This thought is so big. I'm having trouble getting the words to come out. Just how powerful it is that he set all of that aside, being hungry, and said, "You know what? I don't need that." And you see Jesus refer to this again with the woman at the well. "I have food that you don't know of. I have food that you can't comprehend." Brothers and sisters, loving God means trusting him in every aspect of your life. Trusting him fully. Second, he tests his heart and his mind. You see, Satan decides to test Jesus with Scripture. The angels, right? The angels are going to come and they're going to take care of you. They're going to make sure that you don't fall, that you don't get hurt, that you're going to be okay. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that there's many, many people who sit in pews all around the world on Sunday morning that would have jumped off that temple. "Well, the Bible says it, so I should jump, right? The Bible says it, so I should go." But this is where knowing, listening to the Lord changes things, because he says, it also says, don't test the Lord your God. Brothers and sisters, every day people get fooled in the name of Jesus Christ. Every day someone is told, if you plant $1,000 of seed money, God is going to get you the biggest, fanciest mansion. He's going to buy you that sports car. He's going to make sure that you're eating in gourmet dining establishments for the rest of your life. If you'll just plant that seed money of $1,000, that's all we need today is just $1,000. And if you did not study the scriptures, if you did not look and see that Jesus himself said that the fox has a hole, the bird has a nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Or if you didn't know in the scriptures that it says, do not store up your treasures on earth where rust and moths decay, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. You would fall for that. You would be convinced that God's whole purpose and plan is to give you nice fancy stuff here on earth. Brothers and sisters, that's why I'm saying you need to study the word. You need to be in it. Maybe I need you to correct me. I'm going to teach what I believe is truth no matter what. You can count on that. But what if I'm wrong? What if I misunderstood something? What if I am saying it in a way that's not quite accurate? If you're not in the Word, how can you help me? How can you make sure that I am giving you what you need, that Art is giving you what you need? How can we do that if you don't know? That's why it's so important for us to know God's heart, to listen to his words, and to make it a part of our lives. I've got to wrap this up. I'm going to take you guys past lunchtime. The third place was looking at the soul. Satan offered Jesus everything. All you have to do is bow down. It's pretty simple, right? You can have it all. Anything and everything that you want, you can have if you'll just bow down to me. And Jesus looked at him and told him, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You see, it's so easy to look at stuff and to become enamored, isn't it? Gotta have that. Oh man, I just saw that new sports car. I'm not a car guy, so I'm just gonna say that new sports car. Oh man, I just saw that new sports car. Oh, the engine's so big. I could get that thing up to 350 miles an hour. Oh, I really wish I could have that car. You know? Or to look at, oh man, I really like the way they built that house. I would probably do that only 20 times bigger. You know, we have a tendency to just see things and to be enamored. That's why all of these tabloid magazines where they're looking and going, oh, well, what is that movie star wearing? Oh, what kind of mansion do they have? Oh, when I get mine, I'm going to have a pool that shape. You know, these things become overwhelming. And Jesus recognized stuff is just stuff. God is God. If I want that power, I need to be with him. I need to be connected with him. Jesus would say in Matthew 16, verse 26, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can you give in exchange for their soul? Our eternity, our soul, is so valuable. I'm sure all of us realize by this point in our life that we're vulnerable. We can be hurt, can be crushed, our health can go just as quickly as it comes. Everything can be taken away from us. But the one thing that you have that is eternal is your soul. And the place where that soul is so valuable that it makes all of this nothing. There is nothing on this earth worth your soul. And Jesus showed us love for God and the fact that he said, I don't care what you offer me. I don't care what you can give me. I don't care what seems like it holds such a huge value for you. It means nothing. Brothers and sisters, obedience is the beginning of love. Taking that step of faith putting Jesus on as your Lord and Savior, denying yourself, and being willing to give your life over to Him is the most important thing. If you haven't done that, please come see us. We want to help you. We want you to know what it takes to be a child of God, and we want to be available to disciple you, to train you. You won't be alone. We'll be here with you. And if you just need prayers of encouragement, please come and find us. I'm going to ask the leaders to stand, please. Just stand right where you are. Art, please stand. Walt, please stand. If you need prayers, come find one of us. We'll be happy to pray with you. But we want to make those available to you. Thank you. So we'll have a quick prayer here, and then Scott will lead us in our closing song. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to thank you so much for who you are, your love for us. You know, we focus so much on how much you love us, Lord, and we need to, but Lord, help us to recognize how much you need us to love you, how much you need us to be dedicated to you, to be committed to you so that other souls can be saved, so that people can find you who need to know you. And Lord, we pray that if you bring them into our lives, that we are open, that we are ready, and that we are just servants for you, Lord. Make us true disciples. Make us people who walk your path. And just bless us. I pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ, most holy name. Amen.